Welcome to The Cut Music. For the last time, we are your hosts, Mike and...
The Moosh.
And Brad.
Is it going to sound like Eeyore?
And Brad. Well, I would say up until now, it was worth it to follow us on all the socials at The Cut Music 1. And thank you once again to Skillshare for sponsoring what is going to be our final episode. The promo codes and everything will remain active to save yourself 30% on an annual subscription or your first month free using promo code TCM or TCM30. Now, everybody may be wondering, what the hell? What do you mean this is final episode? What do you mean this is the last show?
Oh, we ended up hating each other. That's what happened.
Shut up, Brad. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You either, Moosh. All right, let's give the rundown a little bit. So
I was gonna say we posted on Twitter or X talking about how Spotify changed their rules and joined with Riverside and kind of canceled out their entire platform that allowed us to do what we do, and so that kind of we're trying to find ways around it. We're trying to figure out what the future is for The Cut, but we're having a hard time.
Let's be honest, folks. We were targeted.
We were too good. That's what it was. We flew too high.
They saw us.
I like it.
Finally, we flew like a peacock. We finally got to fly. We were going, and they couldn't allow it.
Yeah, they couldn't allow it. They could not.
Damn fascism.
And look. I want to be very clear about something. We have for probably just over a month racked our freaking brains, including Moosh and I last night, trying to figure out one last idea to save the show. And we did have an idea, everybody. Initially, when this show started, Moosh and I planned on just playing clips of songs. We didn't imagine that there was a platform that would allow us to play the entire track and do somewhat of a radio show type deal. And we were just going to go back to that. But because YouTube is so fucking strict, the one test episode that we were going to send out to a few of our listeners to get some feedback got banned worldwide over a 4-second clip, even though we spent over 13 minutes talking about that track. There's just nowhere to go.
They don't even know what fair use is.
No, right. No, because
exactly.
Because they can't be fucked to manually review something before they flag it.
Exactly.
No, AI does that.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's fucked. But hey, you know what? We tried. It's been fun. And that's why today we are doing protest music for our final episode. Stick it to the fucking man. I do have a question for you guys, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I got a question.
I have an answer.
Yeah. Shoot.
All right. Once this episode is done,
our
final stats. All right. I got the spreadsheet up here in front of me. We will have played 473 artists, 722 songs.
Nice. Damn.
And we are stopping at episode 78.
78.
69 would have been nice.
69 would have been nice.
Nice.
But 69 is your hip hop redemption.
Which is also very nice.
Yeah.
We should have done like sexy love songs or something for that episode.
I mean, it was kind of sexy.
It was totally sexy. Okay. It was very sexy. I remember we had sexy beats.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So who wants to kick off protest?
Well, I got four songs.
You got four songs, Brad. So you should have to go first.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bradley.
Set the tone, Brad. What do you want to say?
Let's set the tone. Let's
do this is your last opportunity to fill your adoption.
I picked some songs that I was like, I'll never get to play this in a million years. Because, you know, it's like a lot of the vibes and everything we went with. Like, punk was one of the things we discussed doing, but let's do Fuck a Proud Boy by Kind Eyes.
What
a lovely little jam.
Fuck. Oh my.
Worst tiny desk ever.
Fucking books flying on. Jesus Christ,
Brad. That song gets me pumped.
Punk. Yeah.
I can only imagine just like, I for whatever reason, I just imagined a Tiny Desk concert and like, hey, everybody, we're Kind Eyes, and this, we're going to go ahead and play a few songs for you. And then this song starts playing, and it's like, everyone falls back in their chairs. What the
fuck? Oh, my God,
it's
dude.
It's aggressive.
That was
And I went against every rule of our podcast just for that song.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Had to.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do, cancel us?
No. But, I mean, I think if now is a good time as any, we are all for punching Nazis.
Fuck yeah.
That's basically it.
You got to have it.
Yeah. Fuck you, Richard Spencer.
It's the most American thing you can do.
Jesus.
I'll go next, Mike, off of that segue.
I think you have a decent... do we want to get those out of the way?
Yeah, we might as well. When I was thinking protest, I was thinking of Dead Kennedys or just punk in general. I've never heard of Kind Eyes. That was... aggressive.
Jesus Christ. Oh
yeah,
my.
I thought Dead Cat. I thought oh my pick of Dead. Oh, behave. I thought that the Dead Kennedys would be a bit aggressive because punk. And I chose a song called Nazi Punks Fuck Off off of their Plastic Surgery Disasters. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Holy shit. Nazi punks fuck off. Dude, that song came out in 1981.
A simple message that we can behind.
I totally agree. And Brad,
fuck off may not be enough.
No. Yeah. No. But I mean, Brad, you raised the bar to let everything else under with that first fucking track.
Yeah, that felt like it felt like a library compared to your song. Like
this is elevator music?
Yeah.
Also not Tiny Desk music, although an acoustic version of that song would be very interesting.
I'd love it.
I would too.
I'd pay to see it.
And if you haven't guessed, audience, we're all three, although we're keeping our composure now. Very upset and depressed and sad about it. We're all very
angry.
I started listening to emo this week. No, that still has not and will never happen. But yes,
he's not that sad.
We are all fucking pissed about this, man. It sucks. You know, so to get into a little bit of the history of it, Spotify invested $1 billion back in 2020, 2021. A billion with a B. And they wanted to be the number one podcasting platform. They wanted to steal that away from Apple. And
I thought it was iHeartRadio.
Well, iHeart.
Could you imagine losing the iHeartRadio?
I know. Well, they did.
Shitty.
They invested $1 billion into building their podcast platform. And they have not... made a dime. You can look all this stuff up. And you know what's crazy and what sucks about this whole thing is a lot of that $1 billion went to people like Joe Rogan and the Obamas and Meghan Merkel and Harry and all these exclusive like podcast ideas that they had, and all these things faded out. I think Obama and Springsteen still have the Renegades. I think that's still happening, but like all these things, all this stuff that they threw all this money at. And what's crazy is they just renegotiated Rogan's contract this year, and Rogan is no longer exclusive to Spotify, yet they're still paying to host him, at least from what I've read. So, but the worst part about all of it, here's the worst part. The growth that we have had has been crazy. And we all want to thank, or the three of us want to thank all of you guys for that.
Thank you.
It
warms my cockles.
It's been great. My cockles have been so happy going on 2 years now. But the problem was, it wasn't just about building our brand and getting it out to the masses. Most people have no idea that this platform even existed.
Right.
Most people had no clue that you could play copyright protected music on a podcast. Like our deal just... And Spotify did not put adequate resources and effort behind
this. Was in charge of managing this like segment of Spotify, like drop the ball. Cause they're like, oh yeah, $1 billion towards this platform. Sure. We'll make good use of that.
It was all podcasting. This was just part of it. That $1 billion went to all of it.
You know, we could still be a podcast, but the cut music without music is just the cut. And that is, there's a hotline for that.
Cuts folks. Are never good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the problem, was competing with the fact that nobody even knew this was a thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, all of our fans around the world, we were international. Thousands of downloads. I was hoping to say millions one day, but we made it to thousands. You know, helped us spread the word. The Cut Music Radio sucks because we just launched that maybe 2 weeks before we got the news that this was ending.
So how many episodes were you able to pump out?
Seven. So the seventh and final episode, which is an 80s mix, and it's awesome. I loved every minute of it. That came out last week. And I was also told that every episode that we produce between now and
June,
will remain intact. So I think our stuff remains, but the website will be coming down. The social medias will be coming down, but this stuff will be here. And if the day should ever come that we can do something similar, I don't know. I'm down. Maybe.
Yeah.
We can figure it out. But until then, we are pissed off and I'm going to keep the punk going.
And we're letting you guys know.
And we're letting you know. Right? We're not just going to disappear, as Brad suggested we do. Because Brad doesn't care about what other people think, and that's why we thank him.
On brand.
Right,
on
Brad?
Brad.
Yeah. On Brad. Yeah,
I'm busy just barely giving a shit.
I can tell. We're going to keep the punk train going, though, because one of my favorite punk bands is The Clash. London Calling. Oh. Yes, The Clash. I love The Clash.
I love The Clash. Yeah, me too, man. One thing I love about The Clash, one of my favorite little factoids, and this is going to be a super niche comment, is one of my favorite YouTubers abroad in Japan. It's just this English guy who lives in Japan. He talks about Japanese culture and living in Japan, and et cetera, et cetera. And he's gone on record saying that his favorite song of all time is London Calling by The Clash.
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's classic. It's iconic.
Yeah. Well, Rock the Casbah. Fucking their version of I Fought the Law. I used to play that live in a band. And God, that song kicked ass.
And much like Moosh, I own this on vinyl.
I don't have this on vinyl.
Yeah, but almost everything else you do. But this was one of the first albums when I started collected in mass at first. It was just getting albums.
Right.
Now I'm much more selective in what I pick up and what I buy and the quality of it, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to stick at 180s and things like that.
Oh yeah. You know, you know what I just picked up, or I didn't pick it up yet, but I ordered it from my local record store. I don't know if either of you are gonna find this entertaining or not, but there's gonna be some parent of some young child out there listening. I ordered Bluey, like the soundtrack, the official album
Blueys.
Of Bluey, not Blueys, Bluey. Bluey, the cartoon from Australia. It's adorable. Oh. It's one of my favorite cartoons. And I ordered, they have an official like vinyl record. It's blue and it has like different versions and songs of the theme and what have you. And I'm so excited to get it on vinyl because my daughter, who's 2, loves Bluey. We watch it every morning. So I'm really excited for that vinyl record.
I do like albums like that. Like when I bought the Cowboy Bebop album, I like those albums that aren't exactly. Well, I guess they are desirable. My next pickup's the Castlevania series.
Oh, that'd be
Castlevania's so good.
Right?
Yeah.
That's man. Well, Brad, speaking of music you enjoy, it is back to you.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and go with What Killed Our Channel by Oingo Boingo. It is Capitalism.
That's the song title?
Is that the song title?
Yeah, Capitalism.
That's what I was going to say.
Isn't that weird and delightful?
I love
you know
it.
The do 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 made me feel like I was like playing an NES video game.
It was early in the 80s, I think, when this album came out, 80 or 81.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it was, but they're just so funky and weird, and the song's so in its own ass.
It's Danny Elfman, man.
Yep.
Danny Elfman with the Oingo Boingo making it fucking weird and shit, and we all know how he turned out.
And for
weird
people that
sounds,
I was gonna say, yeah, for people that don't know who Danny Elfman is, Nightmare Before Christmas, the composer.
Yeah, that's the go-to.
Or you don't really hear
Batman,
his lyrics,
bro. Like,
and the Tim Burton Batmans, yes.
Yeah,
it's just a fucking wacko, and I love it. There's something about Oingo Boingo that just hits the spot for me, especially Weird Science. That song is.
Yeah.
She blinded me with science.
Yeah, I love the weird. I mean, there was a lot of weird sounds that they were trying to put in music during that time, but I always felt like Oingo Boingo really pushed the envelope with
weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love Oingo Boingo. Definitely one of my favorites.
Guilty pleasures.
Yeah,
from the
guilty
80s.
Pleasures. Yeah, Dead Man's Party is one of my all-time favorite songs.
I don't recall why you discovered this movie, but I want to say it was in the last few years you discovered that Elfman came from them, and you called me and you're like, "Bro, did you know that Danny Elfman?" And I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't remember where I discovered.
Was it his masterclass?
I think it was. It was his masterclass. We watched his masterclass and learning all about, fuck, what was this masterclass even about? I forgot all of it now. That was like fucking 4 years ago now.
It could have been
weird noises.
It could have been scores.
Yeah.
Because Zimmer had scores. Yeah. He may have had the same thing.
Yeah, he was teaching how to like record or write music for film. And he had briefly touched about, got my start in Oingo Boingo. And I was like, what?
You did fucking what?
I'm sorry, what? Like, yeah, it definitely caught me off guard. And I loved it. And then like I follow Danny Elfman on the social medias, and he's been like out and about doing like new creative things, and it's all weird. Like, he's still weird, and I love it. I thrive on it. Every time I see one of his videos, I get so excited because it's just so bonkers.
Yeah, and now he's got money, which is even frees him up to be even more eccentric.
Absolutely, and you know what? He
good for him.
He used capitalism to beat capitalism. So there you go. Yeah.
Where are we going next, Moosh?
Right. If there's one thing that I want to share, and it's been. I could have swore that I've played this song on the show before. Maybe it was one of the dummy episodes that we kind of did and then dropped and then never released. But RX Bandits is, we played them on drums. One of my favorite bands of all time. I really, really enjoy their ska infused punk esque type of reggae esque protest music. It's very like deep. A lot of their songs are super deep. The song that hooked me into this band, RX Bandits, is called Overcome. And I remember back in like 2007, 2008, YouTube was new. It was fresh. And the lead singer of RX Bandits did an acoustic version of this song. And you can't find it anywhere now. It's been deleted. It's gone. I can't find it anywhere.
Lost to the ether.
Exactly. But Overcome was one of my favorite songs. I've covered it a ton of times when I used to play live shows. It's a very, very powerful protest song. Anti-capitalism, really. So this is Overcome by the RX Bandits off of their Resignation album. Oh, God, I love that song so much. It's so just fuck you and your corporate greed.
Fuck
and your,
you.
It's just so like, quit controlling everything and quit trying to influence people to do what they shouldn't be doing. Like, it's so aggressive, but I don't know. I love it. I've been listening to that song since 2003 when it came out. So
I loved it. I thought that was great. I
thought it was great. Yeah.
I love how towards the middle of that song, they didn't just go to double time in the tempo. They gradually
got there,
which, you don't hear that very often done that way.
Yeah. No,
that's,
it's
crazy.
Definitely like a, I don't know what the musical term is, which I should know, I know that like retardando is like at the end of a song when you slowly slow down and it ends.
Yeah.
I don't know what the opposite of that is to when like it like speeds up. Like they got halfway through the song, like the bridge is them speeding up, and then it gets into the next verse and a key change on top of that. So like, yeah, this song is so powerful. Like read the lyrics, man. It's so good about just not giving in to the nonsense that is corporate America or corporate, you know, international, really. I mean, everywhere does it.
And don't just let them take your fucking music away, because if they do, you're going to be out of podcast.
Exactly.
You're going to have to listen to Joe Rogan.
Brad, I'm surprised you like that. I'm willing to bet that one of the major influences, at least on that singer, was
reggae.
Sublime.
Yeah. It's one of the few reggae songs I've heard and went, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
well, it's
Brad
it's funny
calls
that, like,
it pretty neat.
Yeah. It's kind of, definitely has like that reggae dub style influence. Yeah. But they're like first and second album was very ska. Like it was late 90s, second wave ska.
I preferred that it didn't have a whole lot of ska in that song.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like ska and punk kind of have a decent Venn diagram. With ska is just like, hey, we're super happy, but really we're dying inside, and the only way to live is to smile, because what else are you going to do? Fucking shoot yourself? Like, that's kind of what ska is to me.
Mm. You just summed up Gwen Stefani and No Doubt and all that.
Exactly.
Sentence.
Yeah, yeah, the Toasters, all of them, all the ska bands are basically like, we're going to just be as super happy as we can because there's nothing else to look forward to besides our music, because the world is fucking shit.
Jesus. Well,
yeah,
we're going to venture away from the weirdness and the punk for the first time and the ska-ness and just go to something a little more four on the floor and straightforward. And that's going to be one of my favorite Foo Fighters songs ever. And that is The Pretender. All right.
That song kicks ass. Every time, man. That song just gets me pumped.
Oh, yeah.
Next karaoke, I'm pulling that song out. I swear to God.
Good luck. You better start doing some yoga and breathing. You better take some
Laws
classes.
Oh yeah,
to get that fucking breath control down. Because like, I can breath wise do that song, but I'm fucking ran a mile like sprint wise by the time I'm done.
Yeah, I don't know how Dave Grohl does it, dude. Like
he's nuts.
I feel like you have to walk into the karaoke bar and beeline it to the fucking stage and just go. There's no, I'm waiting my turn.
No, you need to warm. You need to warm the fuck up is what you need to do, because the more
warming up in the car ride there.
Oh, on the car ride there, maybe.
Yeah, you're singing this
barely,
song.
Don't even put your car in park. Is it still going forward? You open the door, walk out, get to the bar.
And you're already halfway through
ready
the
to go.
Song before you get the microphone.
Yeah. You walk up there and then you just go. Then it ends and you just walk out. And leave your car parked into the building and walk home.
So if you, oh, so just there for the say chorus. Nothing,
yeah.
Say nothing.
Yeah.
If you guys go look up on YouTube, it's just type in like Dave Grohl acoustic performance and look for, he's not even on a stage. He's like just in a room with a bunch of people and he sings like three songs. And I think this was the last song he sang. And he's like, I've never done an acoustic version of this song before, but we're going to try it. Moosh, you and I watched this during one of our musescapades.
Yeah.
And hearing him perform this song acoustic is nuts. One thing I want to also, I got a few things about this song. Number one, RIP to Taylor Hawkins. Travis something? No.
Oh my God.
Taylor Hawkins. I know. It's the last night. I'm just.
Yeah. I know.
But RIP to Taylor Hawkins. The guy was amazing. And something that he does that is amazing. And it took me weeks of practicing the song on the drums every day to do this. When it gets to that part where it's like, I'm your voice inside your, when he gets to that and he's just hitting the kick on the quarter notes,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of hear this rumbling going on. I always thought it was the bass. It's not. If you watch the music video, he is doing 16th notes with one hand on the floor tom, and then he starts with the tss, tss, on top of it, it took me forever to be able to get that kind of coordination to do, because the higher up you go on the drum set, from the floor tom to the mid tom to the high tom to the snare, the tension of each of those drum heads gets tighter, which makes the bounce a lot easier to do. The hardest drum to drum on a drum set is the goddamn floor tom, and Taylor Hawkins is just killing it. But
anyway, he was a good drummer, man. Like, it's,
he was amazing.
I can't believe, I literally cannot believe the way he died.
Yeah, well, yeah. What sucks about it is, I just finished The Storyteller, Dave Grohl's autobiography, that came out a year or two before Taylor passed, and he talks a lot about Kirk, and he talks a lot about other drugs and addictions and things like that. And like he said, Dave Grohl said the reason why he chose to addict himself to coffee, which has landed him in the hospital, I think, on two different occasions. Fresh pots. The reason he says the reason why he addicted himself to coffee, he thinks, is because he knows if he ever tried anything other than weed, there'd be no stopping him.
Yeah.
And I will say this about Dave Grohl. I've always loved the man. I've called him the artist of our generation.
Oh, totally.
He's a badass. But I had no fucking clue how big of a badass Dave Grohl actually fucking is. The Storyteller, go get the book. There's an audio book that's actually narrated by him. It's hilarious. It's insightful. It's sad. It's fucking amazing. Highly recommend.
Okay. I will do that.
Who's next?
It's me.
Bradley.
My next song, I think, is fitting, even though we can't do it because the power is just there and we fall under it, but it is Fight the Power by Public Enemy, Fear of the Black Planet.
Yeah, boy.
I fucking love Public Enemy. It's one of my favorite hip hop groups of all time. Duos, but
Flavor Flav,
Chuck D,
I feel like doesn't, like, because of the cultural phenomenon that is Flavor Flav.
Yeah,
people forget Chuck D, but Chuck D, like, he kicks ass.
Oh yeah,
and then
totally.
You got DJ Lord. Them beats, never misses, and he's criminally underrated.
Dude, I saw Flavor Flav at a mall in Las Vegas. He lives in Las Vegas with his family.
Wait.
And I saw Flavor Flav. Yeah, I saw Flavor Flav just hanging out. He's got his big ass, you know, clock on his neck. And he was just hanging out with his son. His son was like 13 at the time. I think I was like 20. And I was like, oh shit, that's Flavor Flav. Like, you automatically recognize him because he's got a giant ass clock everywhere he goes. He always has it. Like, no matter what. And
dude,
I was like, I just yelled, Flavor Flav! And he turned around, he kind of gave like a peace sign, and then he went back to like hanging out with his son. Like, he just, like, that was it. Like, I didn't want to like bother him too much. You know what I mean?
Dude, but it's like, hold up. This is crazy that you said that, because I did executive protection in my younger days, and I got tapped to do an escort for some celebrity, and I didn't know who it was until they showed the fuck up, and it was him. At a mall.
Hell yeah.
I was told to meet him at a mall, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing at a mall? And then like he shows up and I'm like, oh shit. And then one of my I was a supervisor at the time, and one of the other EPs was like, that's Flavor. And I'm like, his name was Mario. I was like, Mario?
Yeah, he got myself fired.
You
that
need
day.
To fucking relax. All right, pull it together. And so he's like, he is literally trying to like wipe tears from his eyes and keep his fucking composure, because like I was a Public Enemy fan, but like this dude was a Public Enemy fan. So we're walking him through the mall, and everybody's like doing the yeah boy and shit. They're all yelling at him, and we end up having to like take him away from the public and down like a back hallway to a loading dock. And I'm holding,
almost like he's an enemy of them.
No, not at all.
No.
Definitely the opposite of an enemy.
No.
Very much.
He's loved.
So I get in the hallway, and this dude, literally, Flavor Flav, is teary-eyed because, and he says, I can't believe after all these years, all these people still love me and what we've done. And he's like, and if I had the time and I didn't have to get to a show, I would stand out there and sign autographs for the next 6 fucking hours. And then he invited us to his after party and shit like that. That ended up not happening, but he is one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met. Chill. And he was at the mall where I was shopping because after his show, he was going to fly home to Vegas and he was buying his son a new pair of shoes for his birthday.
Might have been the same time. I don't know. It was
you and I hadn't even met yet.
That would be serendipitous.
Flavor Flav connects us, Moosh.
Yeah, it was just it was
he connects
a cool
all
thing.
Of us
like,
in a way.
It was the the big mall in Las Vegas, the fashion show mall, which is like downtown Las Vegas. It's a huge mall. And he was just like hanging out with his son at like, I don't know, a fucking one of the like what's the pretzel place in
Wetzel's.
Wetzel's. Wetzel's pretzels. And he was just like hanging out with his son. And like you see him and you're like and you look back and you're like, oh shit, that's Flavor Flav. Like you had to take a double take.
Yeah. And yeah. He's loud and in charge.
Yeah.
In public, he's like I didn't see any security around him. It was just him and his son. It definitely saw a big clock and he was dripped like he's normally dripped out, you know, but I was just like, that's totally Flavor Flav. And the buddy I was with was like, yeah, that's 100% Flavor Flav. And he was just chilling and he was such a chill dude. Like I probably could have approached him if I was more of a Public Enemy fan, you know, fucking 15, 16 years ago when this happened to me, I could have been like, hey. Yo, Flavor Flav, can I get an autograph? He probably would have given me one. Like, he seemed like he gave that aura. You know what I mean? Like, he gave that the essence of, I'm a chill dude. You can approach me.
No, he took a picture with that employee of mine before he left. And he did have his own personal bodyguards with him when he showed up. And they made me look like I'm your size, Moosh. They were huge. They were massive.
I'm not even offended because I am the little guy.
No,
I'm pretty short.
I'm telling you, I am 235 pounds, 6'3". These guys,
all beef.
These guys could have belly bumped me in my nostrils. Both of them. Actually, I think the second one was bigger because, like, they come around this corner and I see the first guy coming through, and I'm like, we ain't protecting him. He doesn't need protection. Yeah. And then I see Flavor Flav. And then another guy walked out and he was taller than the other one. I'm like, what? Why are we even here?
The same size as Flavor Flav. Like I'm 5'8" and I weigh 160 pounds. Like I'm a little guy.
All right, little guy, you're up next.
Oh, shit. It really does just go to show, you know, the difference between you and I, Mike, is the difference between us and them. And with that, I will play Pink Floyd, Us and Them. It really is. I mean, it's a protest song, but more in the fashion of just like informative. This is how life is, and it fucking sucks. And take notice.
Take notice.
Take notice. You know, like,
it doesn't get any better.
It doesn't get better. It's really just a garbage existence.
Oh my god, dude.
You know, haven't you heard? It's the battle of words. You know, it's just like there's. It's more of a wallflower position of protest. It's like standing by, watching the protest, watching the collapse of society or the struggle of society between the protesters and the oligarchs that are ruling the world.
It's like changing your profile picture to black.
Yeah, dude.
You sound
super effective.
You sound so much like the damn goth kids from South Park, the life is pain. Have fun racing your way to the grave and spending all your life savings on that timeshare in Mexico that you can't afford.
Can I share something that blows my mind? And feel free to cut this. I'm going to put that disclaimer right here.
Oh, no.
That's my job, motherfucker.
I know. Okay. On this morning's news, the Multnomah County, which is the county that I live in, has established and said that they are going to take a stance on the war in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how a local government, I mean a city, a one single county in the United States, local government, is going to have any significant pull in something that's happening on the opposite side of the world.
Young grasshopper.
Yeah.
Every raindrop affects the dam.
There we go.
All right.
There you go.
It's got to start somewhere. I mean, it was kind of my whole thoughts on fucking peaceful protest. I had to get the fuck over that because it still counts. It may not be as effective as burning that motherfucker down, but it's something.
it's just like, I don't understand what, like, all it said is Multnomah County, you know, council members say that they're going to take a stand or they're calling for peace in the Middle East. And it's like,
it's the same whole idea that one vote doesn't really matter until it fucking matters. It's, you gotta fucking start there. You got to start somewhere, and they want you to feel like you are insignificant and will not impact it. If enough people think that, then no one shows up.
This was George Carlin's entire idea, but I'll tell you guys this, because I've found that as you get older, you start focusing a little more on your own happiness. Now, I will not get into my history and the things that I've done, but you two are well aware of them.
I don't know anything about you.
Right. I've done more than the average person based on
that's safer
political beliefs. And Brad, I hate to put you on the spot, but you have credited me with bringing you into the politics that is the world. And for that, I am sorry.
Yeah, I used to be happy, motherfucker.
Exactly. But
and now I'm damn near radical.
I know. I've created a monster. But what I will tell you is in 2024, I don't care. I don't care. Why? Because I can't control it. Does that mean I don't vote? Does that mean I don't pay attention? Of course not. But I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't give a fuck. I don't care anymore. I'm looking out for my own sanity and happiness because I have noticed, and you two should have noticed this sooner and more prominently than me because you both have children. Time goes by quickly. Moosh, I'm going to see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. It seems like I saw you 3 or 4 months ago. It's been damn near a year since I was there with CC.
Really?
It was May. We are recording this in March.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it has been.
Christmas was in there somewhere.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Dude, time does pass.
It flies.
I can't fuck shit up like I did. I pulled my back last night after I got out of the shower to get a Q-tip. Like, I'm fucking feeling it,
dude,
dog.
You and I have been complaining about those things for years.
40. Yeah, tell me you're almost 40 without telling me you're almost 40.
Well, dude, it's the second time in 2 weeks that I have pulled my back to the point where I had to get out the fucking heating pad.
He's not and even I was laying, almost 40. I'm not
dude,
even almost 40.
I got
40.
A good 4 years. I think. Maybe, I don't know. I keep forgetting. That's how old I am. But, yeah, dude, fucking... I can't go out there and fuck shit up. I can't chuck a Molotov cocktail. I'll blow my back out.
You go to the hospital, there's all these burn victims everywhere. What's your problem? I threw my back out burning these motherfuckers.
Yeah, the best I can do now is flip someone the fuck off and entice them.
You just wait. You wait till that arthritis fucking sets in.
I hope it sets in and it stays that way because I don't find myself not being angry.
All right. Well, holy shit, my next song, funny. You guys both, when we got on here, you guys are like, you're not playing Phil Oaks. And I think I just brought, I think I just brought him up. Actually, Brad, you brought him up last week.
Oh, I fucking love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
That makes me so happy because I introduced
you
to him.
It really has been, Mike, Phil Oaks. When you introduced Phil Oaks to me, it blew my mind that this was something that you were so passionate about.
Oh my God. And this was at the end.
And I love it.
This was at the end of my political. I'll tell the story afterwards. Okay. This is a long song, but it's a live performance. It's great. It's my favorite thing he's done. And I think last week on mixtape number 2, Brad, when you brought it up, I said, look up Crucifixion. We're going to do that for you. This is my favorite folk singer, and there's really no better protest song than what this song is actually about. We'll get into it after this. Here we go. Okay. I have listened to that song in quite a few years.
Fucking love that, man.
That I've not listened to it in quite some time. And it's funny how life grants you different perspectives. That song is about the way he explains it is the song is about idolizing somebody to the point of worship and then finding something wrong with them and tearing them down.
Yeah.
He also talks about wanting the whole, like, you remember like when FOMO was a thing starting back in like 2013, like fear of missing out, like, do you have a picture of the pain? There's another line in there about, like, you're lucky to be alive to see the eulogy of this fallen idol and shit like that. And it's, this guy was the 1960s.
Yeah.
And when I listen to this song now, it's about cancel culture and about needing to be outraged and doing so. I brought up George Carlin a little while ago, doing something that Carlin hated, which was when people started grouping up for the sake of grouping up, not in a sense of community, but grouping up behind causes. And when people do that, they lose their individuality. That was what Carlin always talked about. Yeah, when I listened to this the first time, I was viewing it from a strictly political lens because that's what I was into at the time. Viewing it from a perspective of art and just the last 6 years, COVID years, and all that other shit, and listening to it for the first time, god damn.
It was a powerful song from the, I mean, the amount of lyrics. It was a long song.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It was a lot to take.
There's a lot in there. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was heavy. Like, it had a lot of weight to it, for sure.
It's dedicated to JFK after he was assassinated. But yeah, dude, Phil Oaks, there is something so haunting about that man's voice. And Brad, it's funny. You found Kamau. I think is how we pronounce his name from last week. You found him because you were listening to like Phil Oaks radio and this guy happened to come on.
Yeah.
I was just diving into folk protest music of the 1960s.
Like Woody Guthrie and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Woody Guthrie and you know, Dylan and Seeger and all that. And I've
Seeger.
Not that Seeger. Pete Seeger. we're talking about little boxes of different colors, not rocks. Love Bob Seeger too, but I was diving into all of that shit, and then this was the song that came on, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy with this voice and shit? Oh my god.
It's amazing how life changes the way you view things, too.
Yeah.
Hearing something at a different point in your life has a different impact, and that's the beauty of music, is the lyrics don't change, but the meaning to you personally or the way it impacts you can be different just based on how you are personally living your life at that moment. It's a powerful thing.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Do you have anything on this, Mish, before we move on?
No, I love it. I'm so glad that you decided to pull out Phil Oaks. And because, again, when we first, before we started recording,
it didn't feel like it was right without it.
Yeah. Right. When you're like, we're doing protests, and I was like, oh, he's definitely pulling out Phil Oaks because that's his favorite, like, protest artist. And then you didn't have him on the list. And I was like, yo, are you feeling all right? Like, I know it's the last episode. I know we're all kind of bummed out, but like, you want to play your boy or what?
It's so funny. I have only met a few people, and I mean like two, like Ron Allen. Was like the only him and like one other person, and I don't even remember who knows who this guy is.
Yeah, I'm gonna see him this weekend, Ron Allen.
Nice.
I see him at almost every weekend. Not always, but I see him almost every weekend. I met his son. His son is our age. He's 35, and his son is super chill. Like, I want to start hanging out with him more. He's a really cool kind of, he gives Phil Oakes vibes. Like, he's definitely nice. Like in that like genre of individuals. I've only spent, I hung out with him one evening at like a Christmas party earlier, at the end of last year. And I was like, yo, we need to be friends and hang out more. And that was like the extent of it. Like, that was at the end of the night. We were like all drinking and we all went our separate ways. But yeah, he's a cool dude.
Has he texted you back?
No.
Well, if people are wondering who Ron Allen is, we had Ron Allen on for an episode last, I don't know, came out last fall, I think, called Portland.
Yeah.
Because Ron was in the local music scene forever Portland in the city scene. Of Portland. So we dedicated an episode to that. But while we're on that topic, shout out to Jared from Fresh Off the Press, our very first guest that we had. Rich over at Unheard Indie. And I just got to say, if there's a show that I can give every one of our listeners to, it would be him, right? After that, our first artist guest that we had on the show, the Slow Cooked Bears over there in London, dropped their new EP recently. We had a fun time with those guys. And then fucking Brown Bear, still one of my favorite albums to this day that he dropped last year. After that, we had JJ Lovegrove with Minus Cube. And then we had Megan Black, and we had Von Bolt, and we had Ron, and then honestly, a dream of mine, one of my fucking like idols when it comes to vocals, Chris Leipe, on just a little over a month ago to do a deep dive into one of our favorite artists, Chris Cornell. Things were taking off. We had guests that were slated to come on here. It's unfortunate it's not going to happen now, but I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
We'll start with you, Moosh. What's your favorite memory of the show? What's like your favorite moment that we've had over the last 2 years?
Oh my God. There's so many good moments. Like I've enjoyed every episode I've enjoyed. All right. Let's just put that out there as a blanket statement. Like I've enjoyed every episode that we've had. Some of my favorite that really stand out to me are Brown Bear. Like when we first had him on the show showcasing his album Demons, that was a phenomenal episode. Having Chris Leipe, like I still think about that episode on the daily. Like having his like vocal take on just vocals. Like just how he sings and how he hears vocals and how he I'm gonna say translates what artists are singing into how you can sing like those artists or how you can develop a voice of your own that gives the same feeling or same emotion or same like passion that a lot of the artists that he showcases are on his show. So those two definitely stand out. And then JJ Lovegrove and Minus Cube and their orchestral cinematic composition that they composed together. That inspires me all the time to when I'm sitting down writing music, I'm like, oh man, I would love to have some sort of cinematic essence. Maybe not full, like I'm not trying to write, you know, songs for movies or anything, but the way they compose music that sounds
into that.
That sounds cinematic. That sounds like it could belong into a filmscape.
I love that sort.
Like I love it. Like everything they've done.
Minus Cube is on a higher level than he's at right now. Like that guy should that guy. He should be going places. His production and the way he leaves everything open for JJ is nuts. Yeah. And by the way, everybody, these artists that we're mentioning, there's an episode for each of them where we actually had these guys.
Find them on the website. We still have a website right now.
For the moment. They will be on the episode list. Brad, what's been like your favorite part of this show?
Oh, man. So, I mean, I was hesitant to join the show. I think you guys both.
We all had to grovel and
I never wanted to be on a podcast. There was always this feeling I had. It's like, oh, another three white dudes doing a podcast.
Brad, good news. Good news. The podcast is ending. You don't have to be on a podcast anymore.
Right? My best memory is remembering I didn't want to be here.
And that's the fucking thing, though, is like I had a fucking great time.
Yeah.
To me, this felt more like just three bros hanging out in our garage, playing some fucking hair metal.
Oh, hair metal.
Yeah. It did give that.
Cracking some cold ones.
Yep. Yeah.
And none of our neighbors sucked. And they just let us fucking vibe out with our music loud.
Can we just talk about how great of a feeling it is when none of your neighbors suck?
Yeah.
Like, if you have good neighbors, like, that is golden.
State Farm up and down the street, dude.
Yeah.
And it felt good. It felt right. This never felt like a chore. It never felt like I was trying to be a content creator.
It was authentic.
Yeah. It was authentic. I was just having a good time hanging out with my bros. And doing something I enjoy doing, whereas I don't have the music knowledge you guys have. I don't have a lot of that, but I like music and I like sharing it and I want people to listen to it. And that was the best feeling, is maybe somewhere along the lines, someone discovered something that they didn't think they'd like and they liked it. And then they maybe dived into it a bit. And I like to think that they're gonna be like, fucking Brad, that fucking motherfucker Brad introduced me to this band. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I forgot on my shout outs to shout out fucking Ricky over there in Scotland. Let's not forget about him.
Talk to him like every week.
All the time, right?
Dude, like him and I text back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
Ricky, what Ricky eats, what Ricky saw, what Ricky smells, like all of it.
He's not on 2 Indie and Beyond, but 2 Indie and Beyond is still a thing. But Unheard Indie with Rich, I recommend everybody goes and listens to them. I mean, Moosh, you named my, you know, my top moments of the show already. Obviously, like Liipe being like personal to my, you know, musical journey, or absolutely, in his case, my musical voice. shout out to mymusicalvoice.com. And obviously, like the times we got to hang out with Brown Bear were awesome. But I'll give you one more. The time that we snagged the slow cooked bears for the show and they had confirmed, I was sitting out on my back patio. It was probably the few days before we had them on, and I'm really listening to their shit for the first time. And I listened to We'll Never Be Apart, which is a fucking
great
masterpiece. And I remember telling them on the show, like, I love all your guys' stuff, but this one, it still is mind blowing. It comes up on my Spotify mixtapes. I have it on a few playlists every once in a while, and it comes on. I'm like, oh, this fucking track, dude. Jesus Christ.
And I want to say real quick too, I mean, outside of the Slow Cooked Bears, which I do love, it was amazing when Rich introduced them to us.
Yeah.
Megan Black having like watching you go and hang out with
that
Megan
was gonna
Black
be that's what I
person,
was about to mention. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm so envious of that experience. Like, I wish I was able to get down to your part of town and hang out with Megan Black with you. Like, that sounds like such a fun time. You said it was like a tiny desk concert style of venue, and I love those. You come up next weekend, I'll try and take you to one of those. One of those kind of like more intimate live sessions of
that's got to be probably my top moment of all these of everything we've done, is getting to meet and watch one of these artists perform that we've met.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a local thing, dude. She's from fucking Scotland. Like, she came all the way across the world. And Cece and I got to go see her in San Francisco, which was just amazing. I will say this, my favorite playlist that I think we collectively have put together, which is fitting since I just played Phil Oaks, folk music. Brad, that fucking September Dove song, I forget who sings it.
It's really good.
Moosh, there's
I think that's Lost Street.
Yes, City in Color was on there. I just played the playlist. City in Color was on there, but Moosh, there's a song on there from, hold on, I'll fucking get it. Folk music. Camp, By and By. Fucking love that song, dude.
That's a great song.
Dude, that whole playlist was absolutely amazing. Oh my God. Holy shit, I'm looking at this playlist and I just realized I have a confession to make.
Oh yeah. You've been holding this one in.
I have, and it's the end of the show. I'm so glad I didn't forget. Moosh.
Yeah.
I had
this would have been so good.
Oh, it would have been, and it's never going to happen, so I got to just handle your expression as is. Moosh, I have a confession.
Yes.
Last early October, I went to the Independent with CeCe in San Francisco, and I saw the Mel Carton kids front and center.
No.
I have photos of it.
Was it not amazing?
They're so
fucking tight. Like their harmonies, their guitar playing, like they're so in sync.
No, the Mel Carton kids were nuts, and congrats to them on their Grammy nomination that they got this year. I bought Prologue on vinyl. My wife listens to Michigan constantly, and it reminds her of the friend of ours that we lost earlier this year. So my wife's been listening to that song like crazy.
God.
But the reason I did that was because for the last few months, and if they hadn't gone on tour, I have been in communication with their manager to get them on this show.
God damn it.
I'm not kidding.
Fuck you, Spotify.
Fuck you, Spotify. You took
God
you,
damn it, dude. I was,
you took this moment from us.
I had this whole plan, Moosh. I was talking to their manager. We had corresponded back and forth, and I said, hey, my co-host was around before the Mel Carton kids had even joined. This would be kind of a reunion, all this other shit. And Moosh, what I was going to do to you was I was going to tell you there was a metal band that we were going to interview, and that they were having camera troubles. And every time you asked me who they were and to look them up, I was just going to tell you, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. I just need you there. And then I was going to have them turn their camera on.
God damn it.
Yes. And if those guys hadn't spontaneously decided to go on tour in Europe starting in January, we actually got close enough to have a date.
Oh, fuck.
That was tentative, but not confirmed.
Dude, one of my best friends
is fucking me for trying to pull this off.
Yeah, no, you're definitely, you know, best friend. I have another best friend. My best female friend outside of my wife, because my wife is my best female friend. My other best female friend lives in Florida, and she's a big fan of the Mel Carton kids. And it would have been amazing to have sent her just a message, being like, hey, did you hear the latest episode? Oh, it's just me and the Milk Carton kids hanging out. Like, that would have been such a flex.
Yeah, dude. It was, we got really fucking close. And if the show wasn't being forced to an end because of Spotify, this would be on the table.
God damn it, Spotify.
I know. Brad and CeCe and my wife and everybody were like, when are you going to tell him? And I'm like, never. I don't care if this takes 5 fucking years. I'm never telling Moosh that I saw the Mel Carton kids live.
Dude, kudos for you to having a mouth that can keep a secret.
Dude, it was not easy.
It was not easy.
Blabbermouth.
It wasn't easy. But
I love breaking good news. It's like my favorite thing.
So, I love breaking wind. What?
Yeah.
Well, I do that all the time.
Yes, he does. Well, with that, you guys, Brad has the last track on here
track.
And you know what, we're gonna use it as our outro,
you know,
because Godspeed. another band you can't do a protest list without is Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, so gotta have it.
We're gonna be closing.
Don't fight them motherfucking sharks.
We're gonna be closing you. Desert island callback, or deserted island callback. Yes, punching those fucking sharks. So guys, it's been great. As I said on the radio episode that came out last week, the final one for that, we've all broadened our horizons on music. It is not to knock pop and that Taylor is taking over the world and, you know, the Nicki Minaj's and Miley Cyrus's and Ed Sheeran's of the world don't deserve where they're at. But if that's not for you, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to scratch through that surface and go find new shit. And if there's any hope that I have for all of you guys, it's that you continue chasing down music, because it's really not that difficult to do.
It's worth it.
And it's worth it.
It's honestly one of my favorite things. Go to your local record store. A lot of places that sell records or sell music have a device where you can listen to music in the shop before you purchase it. And I know everyone can listen to Spotify, everyone can listen to Apple Music, everyone can listen to Amazon, but having something tangible in your hands, like, it feels so much more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can type in, oh, I'm going to listen to Justin Timberlake, and I'll just type in Justin Timberlake, and I'll listen to Justin Timberlake just like that. But something about holding a record, whether it be a vinyl or a CD or whatever physical copy, you go somewhere and you purchase a record, there's something about that sense of ownership that holds a weight that can't be described and can't be transcended through just streaming music. Like, there's so much more
audio quality is a whole lot better if you have a decent system.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So,
all right. And well
I got, yeah. Wait.
No, what?
Everyone's doing a closing statement.
Oh,
I need one.
Yes, you do.
Since we're going to close out with this song, all I'm going to say is fucking be open to new music. Don't close yourself off. Don't be the guy that says, I hate country, so I'm never going to listen to country. I hate classical music. I'm not going to listen to it. Fucking try it.
Bro, on that note, something that's starting to become a thing is fucking grunge country, and I've only heard a little bit of it.
I am excited for that future. I hate that our podcast is ending right before grunge country is taking off, because I've seen that and I'm excited for it.
I know. I'm super happy about it, but
I'm not willing to say goodbye. This is just a maybe see you later, but you know, if you see an interesting album art, you see something like that, you don't know the artist, pick it up, listen to it, give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's worth it. You may find something you like. You may find something you can introduce someone else to. Music is the greatest creation of humankind.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
Yep.
All right, everybody. And with we'll keep the socials open for a little while. The website will be coming down, but you guys can hit us up on socials. Tell us what your, favorite part from the show is, or send us a fuck Spotify comment. That'd be great too.
Hell yeah.
And you can do that at The Cut Music One on all social networks. And for everything else, well, there's no more thecutmusic.com. So meh.
Hope you bought some merch, because it's about to go.
Oh, yeah. The merch
price
is going out the door, too. People are going to be like, dude, where'd you get that
limited
cool shirt?
Limited edition? Dude, did you get some of the merch before they shut down? Because this is now premium merch.
Less people are going to know that mental health is mental health. So, all right, guys. With that, we have been your hosts for the last time. Mike and
the Moosh.
And
this is Testify by Rage Against the Machine.
Take care, everybody.